I want to say hi to everybody at all of our sites, folks joining us online from all over the world. Jesus said a fabulous thing one day. He said, with God, all things are possible. I want to start with a word just kind of to our family. You know, we've said that we think God's calling us to reach another 5,000 people. We want to launch now 4 more sites over the next 3 years. And we've said in order to do that, it's going to mean that our congregation is going to have to give enough to support our ongoing ministries and enable us sustainably to launch new campuses. I mention this because our fiscal year ended at the end of August, and you all gave a little more than $3.8 million over what it took us to operate this last year. And that kind of generosity is just unbelievable. I'm so grateful. We're going to use every penny to try to reach everybody we can to help people know and love and follow Jesus. Because Jesus said, with God, all things are possible. And my question for all of us today is, what would you pray for if you knew it was really possible? What's your anything's possible prayer? I believe that God has made every one of us to have a dream, to want to impact the world, to make a difference. And that dream means not just what do I do, but what do I become? I'm called to be the man or the woman that God wanted me to be. I believe you need a dream that's big enough to stretch you and noble enough to honor God and real enough for you to devote your life to. So how's your dream going? Because we live in a world that can beat the dreamer out of us. I saw an amazing video not long ago, a guy who grew up in China. When he was 14 years old, he heard a real famous man, an entrepreneur, talk about making a difference, and he decided, I want to go live where that guy lives so I can do what that guy does. And when he was 16, he moved to the United States. Anybody want to guess, out of all 50 states, where does this dreamer, this entrepreneur, which state does he live in? That would be California. Want to guess what part of California he lives in? It's right here, because the Bay Area, we're like the anything's possible capital of the world. We love anything's possible stories. We start anything's possible companies. But we live in a world where it's really hard. And this guy had a dream, and he was going to launch a company, and he was going to get funding for his dream to become true. And then he got rejected. And rejection is such a powerful force. It just devastated him. And he realized he was going to have to learn to overcome rejection. And so he actually underwent what is kind of known now as rejection therapy. The idea is that you make an outrageous request to deliberately get turned down. You're actually trying to immerse yourself in rejection so that you're able to overcome it. You actually court rejection. I did this years ago, but I called it dating. And this guy, for 100 days, he would make these outrageous requests. Like he was in a fast food place, and he said, you know, you do soda refills. Can I get a burger refill? No. He went into PetSmart. Could I get a haircut to make me look like a German Shepherd? No. And then the strangest thing happened. Then he began to find that sometimes when you make an outrageous request expecting a no, you get a yes. And it began to change his life. Take a look.
But amazing things happened. I started getting yeses, a lot more than I thought. And here are some of the yeses I got. One day, I knock on the stranger's door saying, can I play soccer in your backyard? He said, come on in. I'm like, okay. And one day, I tracked down a police officer driving his car and said, hey, can I pretend to be you and drive your car and sit there? And he's like, do it. All right, and then one day I was flying, before my flight took off, I asked the flight attendant saying, can I give the safety announcement instead of you? They're gonna pay a lot more attention to me, trust me. And he said, go ahead. And of course, not everyone was happy. A couple passengers now, is he a terrorist? You know, should I tackle him now? But I was blown away by how kind the society was to me. I did not know that before. And then there's the donut. And here's what happened.
I'm driving toward Krispy Kreme. I'm gonna ask them to make me some specialized donuts. And we'll see what happens.
What kind of specialized donuts are you talking about?
I like to have getting a, you link the five domes together, make them look like Olympic symbols.
And when are you looking to these?
Huh?
When?
The next 15 minutes?
Let me see what I can do.
Okay.
Try, but what do you think?
Wow. That is really good. That's really good. Yeah. All right. So, do I pay there?
Don't even worry about that. One's on me.
Are you serious?
Ditto.
Are you serious?
Very. Extremely.
Wow.
Extremely.
Today. All right. Thank you.
Very welcome.
All right. See you. Give me a
hug.
Okay.
Enjoy.
All right. Thank you. See you.
Now, what's really cool about Jaws' Anything's Possible story is he's actually a follower of Jesus. And he actually attends at our Mountain View campus. Way to go, Mountain View. And I thought you all would like to meet him. So, Josh, thank you so much for taking a few minutes to be with us this weekend.
Thank you for having me.
It's a thrill. Now, part of what I thought everybody would be really interested in hearing is not just your courage about facing rejection, but I know that your faith in Jesus played a key role in that. And, you know, you grew up in China. That wasn't part of your childhood. So tell us about your spiritual journey. What brought you to put your faith in Jesus?
So when I was 16, in my talk, you can hear that when I was inspired by Bill Gates to wanting to become this world-changing entrepreneur. So I met him when I was 14, while in China. When I was 16, I was given the opportunity to come to the U.S. as a culture exchange student. And so I was in an American family in rural Louisiana. That's
a big culture shift.
I know,
shift from China.
It's very different from here too. It's a culture shift from here or anywhere in the world. But my first host family was really bad. It turned out their oldest son was convicted of murder a couple years before I went there. So the exchange program did a horrible job in doing culture, in doing a background check.
And you were actually sleeping in his bed.
Yes, I was
you?
Sleeping in the murderer's bed. And then promptly they stole all my money that I took with me. And so that was pretty horrifying experience for a 16-year-old just leaving his parents. And then the thing is, I think God has a plan for everyone, even though at that moment I thought, how can this get any worse, right? Welcome to America, you know? but then they placed me to a new family, and this time they're a Christian family, and they treated me so well. They treated me with love, the type of love that I don't think I've seen before.
Wow.
I mean, I knew love. You know, love is an international language, you know, regardless what kind of language you speak. But I knew love from parents or to kids or family members or friends to friends. I didn't know the type of love from strangers to strangers that they were showing me. I was a complete stranger, but they were just loving me, and they felt really bad with what happened to me. And then I asked them, why are you, I don't have any money left, so what's the intention? It turned out they go to church, and they took me to their church. It's called Assembly of God. You know, for those of you who don't know, it's a very exciting place.
Very exciting.
Mm-hmm. A lot of things. It's not like this, but I had no
idea. No, not like this incredibly dull church.
We got exciting in other areas, right?
Yeah.
But when it happened, though, like, I have no idea what's going on with people singing, dancing, fainting, all that. But the thing is, I just knew that this family loved me. And so when they asked me, would you want to follow Christ? And I said, yes. It was after I said yes. In the moment, I felt the Spirit was telling me to say yes.
Wow.
But after that, it was after that I started to understand more and more about, you know, the doctrine and especially reading the Bible and everything like that. So it's a long story.
What an amazing journey. So you came here because you heard Bill Gates, but when you got here, you met Jesus Christ.
Yes, yes. And trust me, Jesus is better. I think he's richer, too. He was sure.
And now, you know, following the journey in your book and the blog, it's been such an amazing thing to see somebody say, I don't want to be defeated by rejection. I want to live with courage and faith. And I know that your relationship with Christ really informs that, undergirds that. So talk a little bit about what you're doing today and how does the presence of Jesus and your faith in him help you to live an anything's possible kind of life?
I remember that was the Thanksgiving. At the local church, I was living in Austin at the time. The local church asked me to give a small talk about something I was thankful for. At that moment, my business wasn't going anywhere. My wife was having a lot of health issues after giving birth to our first son. And I was like, what am I gonna be thankful for? You know, life sucks, you know. But then, sorry about that, using that word, but then over there, I said, you know what? I'm gonna be thankful for the roses and also the thorns. Mm. And so I said, you know, I ask for, you know, I'm giving thanks, but I'm also asking for miracle, you know, because if this is really God that's telling me to do this, then help me. Then the very next day, the video you saw, the donut video, went viral. You know, there's millions of views. People around the world saw
crazy.
That video. And they started connecting with me on, you know, wow, this is crazy. You're looking for rejection. I'm also afraid of rejection. So I connected with the world on this topic of overcoming the fear of rejection. So now it's led me to this new thing where my purpose is to help the world to overcome its fear of rejection. Because deep down in the end, not only this is a spiritual journey for me, and I found rejection from people should not be something we're afraid of. Mm. It's rejection from ourselves. More importantly, rejection from God is something we should consider. And God will not reject us if we don't reject him. So
that's such a great word. And we're so grateful that you would take the time to be with us and just inspired by the story. So can we all thank Joff for being with us this weekend? What a cool, cool story that we get to be a part of.
Thank you.
I wanted for us to have like a tangible reminder of the fact that anything's possible. I wanted to do my own little rejection therapy deal. So I actually wrote the Krispy Kreme people and made an outrageous request. I would like you to give 6,000 free donuts to my church. And they said yes. So this weekend, I'll tell you how to use these later on, but everybody gets a free donut. And it's kind of a reminder, anything's possible. Because we're in this series about having a Jesus culture as a church. In Jesus' church, who's welcome? Everybody's welcome. With Jesus, who's perfect? Nobody's perfect. But also, what's possible? Anything's possible. Not because of our education or our strength or our cleverness or anything human about us, guys. It's Jesus. And so one more time in this series, we go back to the well. One day, there was a woman, a Samaritan woman, approaching a well, and there was a man that was sitting there, and he was a rabbi, and she knew what would happen. As she got close to it, he would withdraw. He would get 20 or so paces away. He wouldn't look at her. She would get her water, and then she would leave. Only the strangest thing happened. As she got close, he didn't move. He didn't look away. And when she got up to the well, he actually spoke to her. And he, a Jewish rabbi, asked her, a Samaritan woman, if he could have a drink of water. That's this Jesus. That's an outrageous request. Nobody was, Jewish rabbi is going to ask that of a Samaritan woman. And so she responded to him. The Samaritan woman said to Jesus, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." That's like, you know, the Krispy Kreme Olympic donut ring request magnified way over. And yet, Jesus asked of her, and she didn't say no. And she engaged in a conversation with him. And so Jesus responded back to her. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." Because this is Jesus that's asking. And Jesus will engage in the most amazing and even outrageous requests. And so Jesus explains what this living water is. He says, "Whoever drinks the water that I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water that I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Now, what exactly does Jesus mean when he talks about giving them water that will well up into eternal life? Well, later on in the Gospel of John, he talks about exactly what that kind of water is. This is in John chapter 7. Jesus said, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures say, rivers of living water will flow from within them." By this image, this picture, he meant the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, whom those who believed in Jesus were later to receive. So the idea of this living water is that Jesus, through the power of the Holy Spirit, will be present with you. God will send the Holy Spirit to live in you, to give you power for life, to face anything. And I love the way that the old King James translates this. It puts it like this. Jesus says, "He that believeth on me, as the scriptures hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." And your belly is the deepest part of you. It's the absolute core of your life. And even in our day, to have a strong core is something people greatly desire. Anybody ever see an ad to have great abs? Like to have sleek, sexy abs? That is salvation in our day. That's what everybody wants. Turn to the person next to you and show them your abs. Nobody's perfect. No, don't actually do this. But Jesus says, in that place, in the deepest part of you, I will, if you want, send us a free gift from God, the Holy Spirit, and he will be with you, and the Holy Spirit will comfort you, and the Holy Spirit will give you guidance, and the Holy Spirit will be your counselor, and the Holy Spirit will convict you of sin so you can walk more closely with God, and the Holy Spirit will activate spiritual gifts within you, and the Holy Spirit will intercede with God the Father for you. And I'll give you this gift. And with her eternity hanging in the balance, the woman says, "Yeah, I'd like that gift. I'd like that water." And it changes her life. With Jesus, anything is possible. But the story goes on. His disciples come back. They're shocked. They couldn't believe he was talking with that kind of woman. No one said what they were all thinking, but their faces showed it. Why didn't anybody say anything? Because this is Jesus, and they've come to realize with Jesus, anything's possible. And this woman is so fired up with the gift that Jesus has given her that, like, she hardly even notices the fact that the disciples are not talking to her. And she decides that she's going to go back and tell the people in her town about this Jesus. And she doesn't even bring the water jar back with her. I love this. This is a woman who came to the well with a bucket. She left the bucket and went home with the well. Went home with living water, went home with the Spirit of God in her. Now, Jesus told her, go back and just get one person, he mentioned, your husband, although she wasn't even married at the time. But as she's going back to her town, she says to herself, you know what? I could do more than just get one person. I could tell the whole town. I could make an outrageous request. I could ask everybody in the town to come listen to Jesus. What's the worst that could happen? They could say no. They could reject me. That's no problem. I've got this living water. I've met Jesus. Then, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" You understand what's going on? This is the first sermon that's ever preached in the movement of Jesus. And it's incredibly compelling. It's very enthusiastic. Come and see. It's incredibly vulnerable. A man who told me everything I ever did. It's Jesus-centered. It's respectful of their intelligence. She asked the question, could this be the Messiah? What do you think? It's brief. It's only 14 words. And it's incredibly effective. And it's delivered by a woman, a 5 times married, 5 times divorced, Samaritan, like wrong theology, wrong worshiping, wrong side of the track, doesn't have any money, shacking up with a husband, with a guy she's not even married to, woman. This is very interesting. Over the centuries, people have debated about should women be allowed to preach, and men have sometimes argued over should women be ordained. Many centuries ago, there was a man that went to famous writer Samuel Johnson. He said he'd been to a Quaker meeting, and he saw this amazing thing, a woman preacher. And Samuel Johnson rather famously said, a woman preaching is like a dog walking on its hind legs. The wonder isn't that it's done poorly. The wonder is that it's done at all. But apparently, Jesus didn't think this way. Apparently, Jesus thought it was a good idea to have a woman preach the first sermon about him. And apparently, Jesus was right, because the whole town ends up listening to her and coming out to meet with Jesus. Maybe it's women who are to argue about whether or not men should be ordained to preach. But this woman ends up giving the first message, you ought to meet Jesus. How does that happen? One reason, because we follow a man who said one time, with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. And so she goes back to this village, and she tells not just one person, this woman who's a reject, who's a loser, been married all these times, and she says, you should come and listen to Jesus. And now these are Samaritans, and they don't like Jews, and Jesus is a Jewish rabbi. Look at the response. Many of the Samaritans from that town believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I ever did. So when the Samaritans came to him, they urged Jesus to stay with them. And he stayed 2 days, this great well story. And this woman, it's like she's just on fire for Jesus. And you got a picture now. She's bringing everybody in the town to Jesus. And, of course, that includes all of her exes. Hey, Jesus, here's husband number one and here's husband number two. They can't get along with each other at all. They can't stand each other. So you're going to have to work with them on the love your enemies thing, on the, you know, turn the other cheek thing. And then, Jesus, here's husband number three. I don't know what I was thinking when I got married to husband number three. He's like total rebound husband, kind of a loser, you know, but you could do something with him. Husband number four, I tried to get him to come. He's still really mad at me. He won't even talk to me, but I'm going to keep working on him. I'm going to get him here. Husband number five, to tell you the truth, I'm kind of not over husband number five yet. So, you know, you're going to have to talk to him because my heart's a little bit sensitive on that one. And here's number six. I know I'm not married to him. I told him about that verse in the Bible, you know, if you want it, you got to put a ring on it. I think it's in the book of Beyonce or something like that. So I explain, we're going to have to go through premarital counseling. I've moved out, and I get all that stuff. Jesus, I'm thinking about starting a divorce recovery ministry just with all of my ex-spouses and their ex-spouses. Would that be okay? It's unbelievable. With Jesus, anything's possible. By the way, some of you have been through stuff. You've walked down roads. You've been divorced. You've messed up, and you feel like, have I messed up too many times? Can God not use me? No, you have not messed up too many times. And yes, God can use you. God has this amazing way of taking our biggest mistakes and our biggest wounds and our biggest scars and our biggest hurts and using them to enable us to do ministry, to be a messenger of Jesus with people that we never thought we could reach. Because it's Jesus. And with him, anything's possible. Part of what we see in this story is the progressive discovery of the cosmic Christ. At the beginning, all this woman sees is a Jewish male. And then she sees a little bit more. I can see that you're a prophet. And then she sees a little bit more. I know a Messiah is coming. And then it gets even bigger than that. The Samaritan people say to this woman, this man really is the Savior of the world. That's one of the greatest titles in all the Gospels given to Jesus that they see. There's an ancient description of her encounter that I just love. First, she caught sight of a thirsty man, then a Jew, then a rabbi, afterwards a prophet, last of all the Messiah. She tried to get the better of the thirsty man. She showed her dislike of the Jew. She heckled the rabbi. She was swept off her feet by the prophet, and she adored the Christ. With Jesus, see, anything's possible. And people have been praying, anything's possible, prayers to God for centuries now. Abraham, could I have a child in my old age when I'm 99 years old? Moses, could you deliver your people from Pharaoh in Egypt? David, could I triumph over Goliath? Daniel, could I be saved in a lion's den? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, could we be delivered from a fiery furnace? And God says, yes, yes, yes. And then Jesus, can you heal the sick? Can you deliver the oppressed? Can you still the storms? Can you save sinners? Would you give me that water? Yes. Anything's possible. So here's where it gets personal now this weekend. What is your anything's possible prayer? Maybe it's to be used by God in a fresh, powerful way, the way that this woman was. Maybe it's to have strength to face a situation that you feel like you just don't have the strength for. Maybe it's to be given the power to resist or overcome a temptation or a pattern that's just been killing you. Maybe it's for a broken heart to get put back together again. Maybe it's for a marriage to get put back together again. Maybe it's for somebody that's been far from God that you love to come home to God. Maybe it's for God to use you to touch a part of the world that needs to be touched by Him. Maybe it's something you've been carrying around for so long that you've just given up praying. But with God, anything's possible. With the Holy Spirit, rivers of living water flowing from your belly, anything's possible. I was talking to a good friend of mine from the Midwest not long ago. His name is Dick, and when I lived there, he and I used to have breakfast every week at a restaurant. And the woman that was our server, we got to know over the years. She's a great person. Her name was Barb, and we loved her. And we would talk to her every once in a while because we worked at a church about our church and invite her to come and offer to pray for her, but just never much of an interest. She's a great person, loved people. One of her hobbies was she loved to travel. And the way that she would try to get money for it was she would deliberately want to get on a flight that was overbooked. And when they would ask for volunteers to get bumped and say, you know, we'll give you airline credit money for that so you could fly on another flight, she would be the one to do that. So her goal was to get bumped from flights. And if she got bumped from a flight, put on a list for another flight, and then got bumped from that second flight, that made her thrilled. I'm not making this up. Her all-time record, she once got bumped on 6 consecutive flights. I called her Bump Up Barb. And Dick said, you know, somebody someday ought to invent an app for people like Barb where the app just tells you, you know, there's a flight that's overbooked by 30 people. Get tickets for that flight immediately so you can get bumped up and, you know, get more money. And if anybody here does invent an app like that, just, you know, tithe to our church from it. Well, you know, we would talk to Barb about how God loves her and no interest. And then I moved out here, didn't see her for many years. And she got quite sick, and she had a daughter that was praying for her. And not real long ago, Dick told me that Barb and her daughter prayed. Barb asked, God, would you come into my life? And then a couple months ago, as she got sicker and sicker, Dick went to visit her in a hospital. This kills me. This is my friend Dick. And that's Barb, who had served us for so many years. That's Bump Up Barb. And the day after this picture was taken, she died. And Dick spoke at her memorial service. And, like, she's got the ultimate bump up now. We're going to sit around a table with her someday. You know, with God, anything's possible. And I want to tell you, I have prayed prayers. I've experienced this with something where I thought year after year it's never going to happen. And then God moves and it does. As a church, we're praying anything's possible prayers these days. We got a congregation in San Jose, and you know, you guys are setting up and tearing down a high school, and we're praying, we're looking, we're talking for a campus where you can, you know, have a presence that's there 24/7. Real estate's kind of expensive in San Jose, but with God, anything's possible. Mark Swarner was telling me just the other day about a group of guys in San Jose. A little while ago, they were addicts living on the street. Now they're part of City Team. They have met Jesus. They've been given the gift of sobriety. With God, anything's possible. I got an email from a woman who had been so far from God. Just got it this week. And she said she was a super atheist. And out of the blue, she's reading something and aware that God is in her life. And she meets Jesus. And she said, I went online to try to kind of share my faith in a clumsy way. And I got a text from another woman, and she's also a super atheist, but she's finding God coming into her life. This last year, just got a report on this in our church. We had almost 200 people, I think 190 people, become members at our church, more than ever, except for the year we had the denominational vote, and more of them were from unchurched backgrounds than ever before, more diversity, such cool. God is an anything possible God. So, what's your anything's possible prayer? If you knew it was possible, is it for God to bring somebody home to Him that you just love? For God to restore a relationship that's been really painful? Maybe it's about your job or your work life. Maybe fear of rejection has been killing you and you need courage around that. Maybe it's for God to use you in some area of ministry. Maybe it's for God to breathe life into your emotions, into your heart, and overcome fear. Anything's possible. So here's the deal. We have these cards with the words anything's possible on them. And I want you to identify and write down what's your anything's possible prayer. And then take that with you and keep it in your Bible. And you just pray to the anything's possible. With God, all things are possible. And then after this service, whatever venue you're at, you go outside and get a Krispy Kreme donut. Only get one. We just got enough for one for everybody. And you don't want to be greedy about this at a church. And make it a sacramental donut. And just when you get that, let that be a little reminder. You never know. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. You never know. If you don't ask, how can you receive? And when you're eating that donut, just let it be a little reminder. You know, I don't have to live under rejection. I can come to the cross of Jesus. The cross, see, Jesus did not live in fear of rejection. The cross, which was our ultimate rejection of God, was God's ultimate acceptance of us. Anything's possible. What's your anything's possible prayer? And then if it's a really tough one, if it feels heavy on you for whatever reason, here's what I'm going to do this weekend. I'm just going to stay over here by the well. And campus pastors at all of our venues are just going to stick around at the front of the room. And if anybody would like to come and pray in anything's possible prayer, you know, here at the well or with a campus pastor at any site, as just kind of a reminder that, you know, Jesus is an anything's possible Savior of the world, then let's do that together today. Let's pray.